We'll have communion a little along with these scriptures, but I'd like to share these first because I perceive it might take a little time to do this because I saw something Jesus said and I went hog wild and had to go run it down and spent all day yesterday on this or a lot of it. But I hope that it'll really help you to better understand. A lot of times when Jesus spoke, he spoke in parables. But then sometimes he was very straightforward, and it's just that unsaved people don't understand spiritual truth. And nobody was born again yet. You couldn't be born again under the old covenant. The law worked a curse. No one could be saved. And so when Jesus said this, the scriptures I have today are from Matthew chapter 26. And I ran down a lot of scriptures from the old covenant as well about the significance of the day that this happened. In my Bible, it's called the Last Supper because literally it was the Last Supper of the Old Testament, because 4 days later, this was the Passover Sabbath, and if you study the Hebrew calendar, you will find that this happened in the evening of the preparation for the Sabbath, which was going to happen in the high priest would take the lamb and slay it. And of course this kind of connects with Easter as well, because the timing is incredible. This was the night that Judas was at the table and they were having their Seder dinner, and it was that night that Jesus made the comment that someone at the table would betray him, and the disciples kept asking, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord?" But Jesus already knew who it was, because amazingly you can even run that back, and even that was prophesied in the Old Covenant that there would be one, that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. They didn't say his name, because the name Jesus was not mentioned, but it was a prophecy that was to be fulfilled. So coming down to Matthew chapter 26 and verses 26 through 29. And Aaron, did you see that I have, there's two sections, there's some from the book of Acts as well? Yeah, excellent, thank you. And Jesus said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament.'" And this is really a very critical. There's an element of time that changed forever. B.C. time and A.D. time. And he said, "This is the blood of the New Testament." See, Jesus still came as an old, under the old covenant, and the new covenant didn't come in until after he was resurrected. So his blood that he shed was the last time that there would ever be animals slaughtered and killed every year for the sins of the people. This was a really significant event that took place on this particular occasion, because this was the preparation and also the feast. And then it was that night he went out in the garden. He prayed. You can read that in the Gospel of John. You can pray what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. That's the real Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord praying, and his words are recorded for there to be read. And then his crucifixion and his resurrection. So when he said this, it was only like 4 days out, including all of the Garden of Gethsemane, his crucifixion, the tomb, the 3 days and three nights, and then his resurrection. So he was only about 4 days out from that happening. So you often will see, he said, "I'll be with you for a little while, and then I won't be with you." And the disciple said, "Well, where are you going?" And he says, "You know not where I'm going." But he actually was going to the cross. And then after his resurrection, he went again. He took his blood and offered it on the mercy seat in heaven. It was his blood. And this is the blood that he was talking about. And so it's a very significant portion of scripture. And And then he said, but I say unto you, I will not drink it henceforth, in verse 29, of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. There's an interesting little thing here. You can read it quickly. And it, like if you're reading a chapter a day or something, you know, or whatever your Bible reading plan is, it's really easy to overlook little things that really stand out. You see, he believed that God was going to raise him up. Because he said that, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, that was fulfilled in the book of Acts chapter 10. And this is part of Acts chapter 10, verses 38 through 41 are the next scriptures that I have to go with this, because I wanted to know when. When is it going to be fulfilled? Because he said that he would drink it with them. Well, Acts, this portion of scripture in the book of Acts we're going to go to, if you would please, 10, 38 through 41, Peter is speaking. This is after Peter and all of them got the maximum overdose of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, and the cloven tongues of fire lit on them. They were all speaking in other tongues. And then Peter, the anointing came on him, and he preached an amazing Pentecostal preaching fisherman message. Or I should say a Pentecostal fisherman message. There, that's better. And out of his mouth came these words. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is Peter speaking. And then he said this, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. So he's talking about the eyewitness account of Jesus being arrested and the beating and the putting on the cross. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us. Now this is Peter reading, speaking again. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So when Jesus spoke those words back in Matthew, Peter was present. He was at the table, but he remembered, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit gave him the connection that what Jesus was talking about was Jesus would no longer have this with them under the Old Testament because it was about to be ended. It was 4 days from being ended, hundreds of years, maybe a couple thousand years, I don't know. The animal sacrifices, all that stuff was going to come to an end for the sins of the people. And Jesus put an end to it with his own blood and with his own body. And so this falls into a very, not only a historical thing, but from that time forward, time used to be measured in B.C., before Christ. In A.D., it's Anno Domini, I think, after the death of Christ. And time for all eternity has been separated by B.C. and A.D. because of this, of what happened. Very soon, his crucifixion before him and afterwards. And that's a major crossroad. And so when he said this, this had profound implications, which I have other scriptures we can look at a little bit later after the music and whatever, because I just know that this was going to take a while, but I wanted to share this with you early this morning so that when we have communion now, and you can think back, just go back and realize that even though his betrayer was right at the table, Jesus told him, what you do, do it quick. In other words, don't be lollygagging around here and pretending to be one of the 12 because you're appointed to be the one that's going to betray me. And you have to do this, Judas, to fulfill Scripture. So even there was a purpose in that, because if that hadn't happened, Jesus wouldn't have been crucified. And if he hadn't have been crucified, then that would have robbed God of his plan of salvation that he knew from before the foundation of the world. And all of this connects very beautifully when he said even just these few words. It's very meaningful, and it's still carried out all over the world today from this event. So that's, we have the privilege of doing that together and coming in union with Christ. And when he said his body, you can go through all of the Gospels and they talk about, wow, I'm wired today. what's new? People still celebrate this in remembrance of Jesus. And I can't even imagine what that was like to know that the one that was going to betray him was at the table. But if you look at it from his perspective, he was with the Father from before the creation of anything. He'd always been with the Father. And to the Father he returned. And so knowing that had to have been of great help, because he knew it was God's will for him to do the cross. He pleaded with the Father, though, in John chapter 17. You can read the prayer that he prayed. And it's quite profound, actually. And that if there was any other way. Now, that's the humanity side of Christ speaking, because he knew that the Romans had invented this horrible, horrible way of torturing people until they died. And crucifixion was an awful death. Not only the beating, they beat him 39 lashes. Now multiply that times 9 on that whip they had. And at the end of each of those 9 strands was a piece of glass and a stone, or sharp stone, so that when the guy that administered the punishment brought the whip back, it just ripped hunks of flesh out. And you multiply that 39 lashes. The Romans experimented. And they wanted to know, how far can we go before we kill the victim? 40 lashes would kill a person, and they whipped Jesus 39, one short of death. They were very skilled at that. Jesus wasn't the only one crucified. The Romans invented that. And the person slowly suffocates, and they had to stand him on a block, because you're gasping and you suffocate, the lungs start filling up with fluid, and you can't breathe anymore. And the other neat thing was, this is a whole other part of this about the crucifixion, was it was exactly at 3:00 in the afternoon on the 14th day of the Jewish New Year, Nisan. At 3 p.m. in the afternoon was when the Passover lamb was killed in the temple by the priest, and the blood applied behind the veil. Jesus died at exactly 3 p.m. that afternoon. Everything that he did fulfilled Scripture. That's, if you're a little skeptical about the Word of God, how beautiful and how perfect it is, that everything he did fulfilled exactly what was written, even to the time on the cross. But you've got to study the Hebrew calendar, and all their holy days are marked. That's why people used to be offended in the beginning, because they didn't understand me. I've known that for a long time, that there's no such thing as Good Friday. And I didn't want to be a church that would just celebrate it out of tradition. It was a Catholic holiday, and I'm not Catholic. I'm a born-again believer. And I didn't care if half the congregation got up and left. I was willing to stand for the truth of the word. And so Jesus was all still in the tomb on Friday. He wasn't, the days don't line up. Jesus said, 3 days and 3 nights. And if you look at the Jewish calendar, a day is from midnight, 6 p.m. the first night to 6 p.m. the second night. So it's like a 24-hour clock. It is broken into watches. And even through all of this, the Bible is very clear. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that it was the third watch, and he died at the ninth hour, which on the Hebrew calendar would have been 3 in the afternoon. It is so precise, and so that's why this particular one, where you read it, it isn't mentioned in the other Gospels like this. And Paul picked up on that a lot of times. We use 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul referred back to this the night he was betrayed. Paul started that. Paul wasn't at that supper, but he knew about it. And he wrote about it after he got saved, and he celebrated it as well. So what we're doing is kind of like remembering back to one of the most significant things in all of church history, but even in the history of mankind, how Jesus was about to put an end to all of those sacrifices. Every year that temple was filled with blood of sacrifices of lambs and rams and heifers and goats and turtle doves. Jesus was about to put an end to it, and this is where it started. So that's where I'm going to pick up with you all, so that you kind of get a little more background about it, because it's very significant.